So this is terrible news for the Baltimore Ravens, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, but they seem to have enough to be able to withstand this blow. Also, we got an update on quarterback Daniel Jones. He has successfully landed with the team in purple, and we got a lot of other stuff to cover this video. Team, keep it clean. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, turn your notifications on, and leave a like on the video, and let's get straight into it. So, we know the other day after the Chargers game, it was said that Charlie Kolar, that he had his arm wrapped. So we were hoping, all right, hopefully Ravens just, they being extra cautious. Maybe he's a little sore or something like that. Maybe he might have dislocated. Okay, whatever it could be. Hopefully it ain't nothing crazy. But we got an update on him today. This came from Tom Pelissero. He said, Ravens tight end Charlie Kolar is expected to miss at least 4 weeks. At least. So that's a minimum. That is not a maximum. So he's saying that Charlie Kolar is going to miss at least, at a minimum, the next month of the season. Now, with the Baltimore Ravens, the way the schedule is set up, if he's going to miss 4 weeks, that would be this Eagles game. But then we have a bye week, so that helps. So that gives him that week to where he won't necessarily miss four games at least. He'll miss at least three, though. But that bye week being when it is, it does help Charlie Kolar and really any other Ravens that are banged up. They've had a crazy schedule. And then after the bye week, it's going to get even crazier because you play three games in, what, 10 or 11 days. But anyway, so he's going to miss at least 4 weeks. He's expected to miss at least 4 weeks after breaking his arm in Monday night's win over the Chargers. So I didn't even know it was that bad. I didn't even know Charlie Kolar broke his arm. Like, man. And he also said Kolar suffered the injury early in the fourth quarter. And then, oh my goodness, you. That's a dog right there. That's a man right there. Because it says Charlie Kolar suffered the injury early in the fourth quarter and then finished the game before getting x-rays. That's one tough dude. That's crazy. That's crazy. Boy, I already don't have respect for all of these players. I got respect for what they do because they out there putting their bodies on the line every single week in the craziest way. You got dudes that's 300 pounds running at you full speed, 20, 25 miles an hour. They going crazy. But for you to break your arm, not just sprain your arm, not have a cut on it that you're dealing with. No. He broke his arm. Broke it. And still end up finishing. And it says early in the fourth quarter. It's one thing, it was like, oh, man, it's a minute left in the fourth quarter. I mean, that still would have been enough right there, but it's a minute left in the fourth quarter. He broke his arm, but he finished the game. No. Early in the fourth quarter, he broke his arm and then still finished the game. That's something right there. But this is a really big blow for the Baltimore Ravens. And some of y'all may be thinking, big blow to the Ravens offense? How? How could Charlie Kolar be a big blow to the Ravens offense? Well, if you watch the Baltimore Ravens, like Charlie Kolar, he ain't showing up in the stat sheet like crazy. Like, he'll have some games now where he'll have some catches and he'll show up in the stat sheet. But with Charlie Kolar, he brings versatility to the Baltimore Ravens offense because Charlie Kolar, he can catch, as we've seen. He can catch. He ain't the fastest in the world, but he can catch and get upfield and whatnot. He can make some plays happen. But he also contributes heavy in the run game as a blocker. Heavy. Now, Jeff Zrebic, he did make a good point. He said Kolar left SoFi with his right arm and wrist wrapped in a sling, the team's number three tight end. He's been a weekly contributor, particularly in the running game. So, yeah, Jeff Zrebic, no, he knows. And, of course, Jeff Zrebic knows. He knows everything about these Baltimore Ravens. But he also said Ravens still have Andrews, likely, and Ricard. So they won't necessarily have to add another tight end, but they have tight end Zaire Mitchell, Patton on the practice squad. So they got somebody just in case. But obviously Andrews is the number one tight end. And y'all know earlier this season, I was saying, hey, I even said it last season, Isaiah Likely, he should be number one tight end. And I felt like it should continue from where they should pick up where they left off last season. Mark Andrews should still do his thing. But Ravens were like, nope, that's why you just a podcaster. That's why you sitting in that chair right there and you're not in our team meetings. You're not here at the facility. You're not at Owings Mills. You're not here because that's why you over there. Mark Andrews is still our number one tight end. And I'm like, okay, cool. I ain't got no problem with it. Long Ravens having success. Whoever the number one, number two tight end is, whatever. Number three, number four, whatever. But, I really thought Isaiah Likely was going to take over. And week one, y'all saw. Like, week one, it was looking like, ooh, okay. But then Mark Andrews, and it looked like he was still dealing with something, dealing with an injury and whatnot. But Mark Andrews has steadily come back, and Mark Andrews is like, he's back. He is back for sure. So that's a beautiful thing to see. But anyway, back to this. Ravens, they can withstand this blow. It still sucks. It still is really terrible for Charlie Cole. It's terrible for the Ravens because, again, like I said, he adds another element to this Baltimore Ravens offense as a blocker, but also as a pass catcher too. And we always talk about when it comes to weapons for the Baltimore Ravens on offense, it's like the more you have in your arsenal, the better. And a conversation that we have on here a lot, it's like, oh man, how can Ravens get this guy involved? Oh, but how can they get that guy involved? How can they keep him involved? How can they? And that's such, I'm so glad as Ravens fans that we are finally at this point where we're having conversations like this on a weekly basis. I appreciate it because if y'all remember, like, there have been times in the past we couldn't really have them conversations like that. We really couldn't. So it's nice to actually be at that point as a Baltimore Ravens offense. But yeah, with Charlie Kolar, hopefully he ends up being on the short end of this 4 weeks, and the maximum it ends up being is 4 weeks, because again, Tom Pelissero said he's expected to miss at least 4 weeks with a broken arm. So again, that doesn't necessarily mean it'll just be 4 weeks. It could be longer, but at the same time, he said he's expected to, so it's not finalized, but it could possibly maybe be shorter too. But you don't want to rush anything back. You want to make sure that arm is fully healed whenever he does get back. And I expect when Charlie Kolar does come back, I expect him to wear something on his arm to just give him an extra set of protection. So the news ain't been all bad this morning, because it just came out that the Baltimore Ravens, let me read it straight from the source. It says, we, the Baltimore Ravens, have designated nose tackle Michael Pierce for return, and he has returned to practice. So Michael Pierce is back in the building, and my goodness, the timing couldn't be better. I mean, it could have been better. I mean, he could have been healthy the whole season and never went out, but him being back is such a huge boost. It helps this team so much, especially because it alleviates the pressure off of Travis Jones, because we know Travis Jones, he one of them guys, man. That boy can play, but he ain't been the same because he's been hurt, and we've been really thin on the defensive line, especially when Michael Pierce went out. It was like, ooh, oh goodness. And Travis Jones was still dealing with the injury. It was like, ooh, my goodness. But now with Michael Pierce being back, and just in time for a certain Saquon Barkley to come into town, oh yeah, thank you very, very, very much. But seriously, this is great. This is great. And we could use some great news after dealing with the Charlie Kolar stuff, and who knows how long he's going to be out for. And then just now, the reason why I'm holding this mic like this is The mic holder broke. I've been rocking with this thing for years, man, and it just decided, you know what, today I guess I'm gonna go ahead and break on you. But it is what it is. We'll deal with that when we deal with it. But Michael Pierce is back in the building. The Baltimore Ravens also said that we have signed tight end Scotty Washington to the practice squad. And he's somebody that was with the Baltimore Ravens in the preseason. And with him, they actually had timing is everything, man, because Charlie Kolar was healthy. He wasn't hurt. And the Baltimore Ravens actually had Scotty Washington in on a visit, I want to say about a week and a half ago. They had him in on a visit, on a workout and whatnot. And they had another player in too. But now he goes from just visiting with the team, like just checking in on, hey, how you doing, Scotty? Oh, Ravens, I'm doing good. How you doing? And now he's back with the Baltimore Ravens on the practice squad. So those are some significant. The Michael Pierce, that's big. Like, literally big, because he's one of the big boys on the defensive line. But that can help out the Baltimore Ravens so much, because it helps in the run defense big time. But it helps Travis Jones be able to get some more rest with that ankle. And then after this Sunday, we got a bye week coming up, so he'll get even more rest, which he needs big time. But then it helps in pass defense too, because if Michael Pierce is on the field, then that helps eat up blockers for Nnamdi Madubuike to do his thing. And we know with Nnamdi, like, if he's been alone out there, it ain't been too pretty. But when he's had some help, then he returns to doing his thing and being his dominant self that we remember from last season. So, Michael, I'm really happy about this. And y'all really should be, too. Look, every time I sit down and I'm like, all right, let me go ahead and put this video together for Team Keep It Clean. Let me edit it. Something else ends up happening. So, right when I was sitting down getting ready to put it together, they announced Roquan Smith, he is back practicing too. man, like, look, I ain't trying to go too crazy or nothing like that, but stuff is just, it's lining up, man. It's lining up. It really is. Like, this is, what great timing. Like, we already talked about with Michael Pierce, what this injury does for the entire defense. Now with Roquan Smith, and this was the expectation that he would be back this week, especially when they didn't rule him out all last week. But he ain't practiced all last week, but right up until game time, he did that pregame workout routine, and he was really trying to see if he could give it a go, but they were like, no, you ain't ready yet, so you just chill this game. And it worked out, but now Roquan Smith is back, and Ravens, and they're going to need everything for this game against the Eagles. They're going to need all their reinforcements. They're going to need everything and more, because this Eagles team, they're coming in hot, and Ravens are going to need everything in their power to not only slow them down, but really stop them. So having Roquan Smith is great. That's great, 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 great news. I love it, man. Like, and the timing, man. The timing. So, Ravens, y'all want to keep giving us all this great news? Please, be our guest. When Daniel Jones got released, we had the question on here if the Baltimore Ravens should sign him as a potential future backup quarterback. And I was like, why not? You could sign him to the practice squad this year, and then you could have him in camp next year, and he could be a backup to Lamar Jackson. And as a matter of fact, the question was asked on Twitter a couple of days ago, like, would, if the Ravens signed Daniel Jones, should Lamar Jackson give him the number 8? And I said, after this year, yeah, why not? Because after this year, Lamar Jackson is going to be wearing the number 1. If you know, then you definitely know, my friends. But anyway, then there were some people that said, well, no, once Lamar gets that number 1, then they're going to retire number 8. Well, Ravens don't retire numbers. They stop giving them out. But anyway. But with Daniel Jones, there were a lot of Ravens fans that were like, no, we don't want to sign him. We don't want him. We don't need him in the Baltimore Ravens. No, he is bad. But then the comment that stuck out to me was somebody said, Daniel Jones is, they said he's a terrible quarterback. He's not good at all. But somebody said he's still better than Josh Johnson. Even with saying all that, they said, and people were getting rough on Daniel Jones in the comment section. But then it came out a couple of hours later that day that the Ravens were interested in Daniel Jones. And I said, look at that right there. But Daniel Jones, he decided that he wanted to sign with a different team that wears the color purple. Shout out to Sealy. He's signing with the Minnesota Vikings. And guess where he's signing to? Their practice squad. So it is super low risk. Super low risk for them. But Ravens fans, you can rest easy now. He ain't coming here. Now, I know y'all see the Revenge Season hoodie that I got on from Heart of the City Clothing. If you want yours this week and this week only, these are $20. And if you want any other hoodie from Heart of the City Clothing, all their hoodies are $40 this week. $40. And then on top of that, if you want a Heart of the City hoodie, whether it's the Revenge Season hoodie for 20, you want the Zay Flowers Human Joystick hoodie, they got an Ed Reed hoodie, they got a Charm City hoodie, they got everything that you could possibly ask for a hoodie. You use code ENGRAVEN30 for 30% off your entire order. Don't say I ain't try to put you on, and don't say that Heart of the City ain't try to take care of y'all. So now we reach my favorite part of these videos, where we get to feature your questions. If you would like to take part in it, you can send an email to teamkeepitclean@gmail.com. Shout out to y'all, because I ain't seen no wrong emails over the past couple days. So we're going to see a lot of people got the message. And if you don't want to send it via email, you want to send it on Patreon, send it in a DM on Patreon, and you would like to join a patron, you can go to patreon.com/engravenvids. Now, shout out to Roger L. Jr. Why are we shouting out Roger L. Jr. for what? Well, it's because he is the newest, he is the latest, and the greatest Team Keep It Clean patron. So shout out to you, Roger. Roger, you should have sent a question to start us off, but it's okay. Let's get it started nonetheless. First question came from another Team Keep It Clean patron, my guy Baltimore Mike 51. He said, I ain't graving as always, offer prayers for you and your family. I was just sitting here thinking about that Chargers game. Hey, I appreciate you though, Mike. He said, is there a team that really scares you against the Ravens? Well, hey, this Sunday. Oh, this should be a good one. This will be a very tough test for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I know, like, a lot of times when we've said that before, like, hey, this the game right here, this the Baltimore Ravens, oh, this is going to be Ravens just, they troll us because they end up blowing these teams out. They end up just going crazy on these teams. They shut them down. They blow them out. It's crazy. Am I expecting that this Sunday against the Eagles? Not necessarily. I wouldn't be mad at it, though, but this is a really big game. This is a really, Eagles, they playing some football. And Saquon Barkley going crazy, crazier than crazy. And you know they're going to do everything to get the ball in his hands so many different ways. But, yeah, I would say the Eagles, the Steelers, because they done had Ravens' number. The Chiefs, because they done had Ravens' number. But I still do believe the Baltimore Ravens this year, they winning it all. They winning the Super Bowl. That didn't change after they lost to the Steelers a couple weeks ago. That didn't change after the Chargers game. That didn't change after any of their losses this year. That didn't change for me. I know for a lot of people it did. They're like, oh, this is not a Super Bowl team at all. And I respect it, but, hey, we just feel different about it. Anyway, he said, me personally, the only team that scares me is the Ravens themselves. Ooh, okay, I like that. And that's true. Because Ravens, like, yeah, you know how they go. But anyway, he said, because if we play like we're capable of playing, no team in the NFL really worries me but us. What's your take on this? As always, you're really the GOAT to me when it comes to my Ravens content. I appreciate you, Mike. And that's a really good point. Because, yeah, the Ravens, they do so much self-inflicted stuff. Now, other teams, they help them do that self-inflicted stuff, too. Because you got to give other teams credit as well. Because if the Ravens, they were out here beating somebody, and we wouldn't want it to be like where the opposing team was like, oh, man, it was just Ravens ain't doing nothing. It was just all us. Because remember what we talked about in yesterday's video about Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack just finished getting run all over by Derrick Henry, 24 carries for, what, 140 yards, and he came out and said, oh, he really ain't that hard to stop. Really? Like, you just got whooped by him, and now you're saying he ain't really that hard to – Okay. Anyway, so you got to give other teams credit too. But Ravens, yeah, they do a good job of hurting themselves with just silly stuff. Ravens, if they get the penalties, number one right now, in my opinion, penalties are number one. And now there's some ticky tacky stuff, some stuff where it's like, really, y'all really call it like the leg whip? Really, the leg whip? Come on now, man. But these refs, they done had it in for the Ravens all year long. It's been the craziest thing. But if that can get cleaned up, then of course the Ravens, that's the biggest thing, though. That's bigger than turnover, because Ravens don't really turn the ball over very often at all. If they turn the ball over, like last time they turned it over was in the Steelers game. It wasn't even Lamar's fault. Yeah, none of the turnovers were Lamar. They turned over three times that game. I just realized none of them were his fault. There was the interception. Shouldn't even been an interception. But then there was the Isaiah Likely fumble. Then there was the Derrick Henry fumble. Oof, that's crazy. But anyway, and that's like stuff that just doesn't happen. That's stuff that those players don't do. They don't be fumbling the ball like that. But anyway, back to your point with the self-inflicted wounds. Yes, they can be their biggest own worst enemy, man. And once they stop being that, like really get out of their own way all the way, they unstoppable. Next question came from my guy, Recon Marine. He said, JK needs to stay far away from the Ravens. Pray his injury isn't serious. And they said that he has a sprained, is it a sprained shoulder, sprained elbow, sprained ankle, or sprained knee? It's a sprained something, but JK is going to miss this week's game. So he missed the remainder of the Ravens and Chargers game once he went out, but he's going to miss this week's game as well. So it ain't too serious, but serious enough to keep him out of this game. So hopefully JK, like, and that was the biggest thing with him in the Ravens while he was on the Ravens. He was an excellent, amazing running back. If he would have been healthy, he would have been top five, no doubt in my mind at all. No doubt in my mind, because J.K. Dobbins can literally do everything. He could run, he could catch, pass, he could do everything, and he could do it good. But injuries just kept getting in the way. That was the only reason. And I know a lot of Ravens fans are like, oh, when they watched J.K. Dobbins with the Chargers this year, they've been like, oh, Ravens made a mistake. They should have brought him back. No, they should not have. They should not have. They did not make a mistake with not re-signing J.K. Dobbins. Not because he's not a good player, because he is. He's a really good player when he played, but the injuries, he just always was hurt. So Ravens made the right choice for J.K. Dobbins to go their separate ways. Lamar's mouthpiece. Next question came from my guy, Monta. He said, I ain't Raven to watch your videos for years as a lifelong Ravens fan, but this is my first time ever interacting. It's outside of YouTube comments. Hey, well, I appreciate you. Thank you, man. He said, but is it just me, or has anyone noticed Lamar Jackson's mouthpiece? Thursday night, he wore an orange one versus the Bengals. Last Sunday, he wore a yellow one versus the Steelers. And last night, he wore a light blue one versus the Chargers. He did? I ain't noticed that. That's a nice little fashion adjustment by Lamar. And if that's accurate, I ain't even see it. I didn't even notice. That's cool. I like that. He said, I just think that was something funny to point out. Now, if he wears a green one against Philly, then we will definitely know what he's doing. Side note, Bateman is silently having a really good season. Yeah, his best ever. His best ever. And I do appreciate with Rashad Bateman, he just keeps on responding to everything. The criticism, the hate. Bateman came out this season and was on fire. Then he has some drops. He has some unsuccessful moments and whatnot. If those eight flowers, he done had some drops too. He done had some big drops as well. But with Rashad Bateman, they went and traded for a receiver. So a lot of people was thinking, what's up with that? What's up with that? Bateman responded to that. He said, I ain't worried about that. He ain't say that, but his play said it. Like, oh, I ain't worried about that. I got that. Watch this. And Bateman has continued to show out. So we happy for Bateman, happy for Rashad Bateman. It's amazing to see just the potential. We're starting to see more of the potential. And with Rashad Bateman, another way we've been seeing more of the potential, especially when we saw it on Monday night, it was Bateman will make some catches. He'll get open. He'll run some crazy routes and make some plays, and that's great. But a big thing with him that we really didn't see him do much of it, contested catches. Catches with a cornerback draped all over him, that was not his thing. But did y'all see that touchdown from Monday night? That was exactly that. Next question came from O'Shea. I love that name, O'Shea. Anyway, he said, peace and blessings, King. Hope all is well with you. Been following and watching the podcast for a while. Amazing Ravens content. Salute. Really enjoy. Appreciate that, O'Shea. Thank you, man. He said, my first time sending in my question, and after a great win this week, my opinion or my option, if we give King Henry at least 20 carries, most in the I formation and mix him up in a passing game with a couple of screens and checkdowns as well, instead of using Justice Most passing downs, I think it'll keep the defenses more off balance. That's not an opinion at all. You said it's your opinion, but that's not an opinion. That's a fact. That's a fact. Because with Derrick Henry, when he's in a game, like, teams are automatically thinking run. They like, probably 90% run. Before, earlier this year, it was 99% run. Now it's like 90% run with Derrick Henry because they do the play action. They do that. But when Justice Hill is in a game, it's like, all right, maybe 75% run. 75% pass, 25% run. But you know, like, when Justice Hill is out there, yeah, they're passing the ball. But if you had Derrick Henry out there, everything you're saying is true. If they had Derrick Henry out there more, like on passing, you could mix it up. You could really throw them off balance even more than you already do. So that would be a great idea for sure. He said it would, instead of using Justice Most passing downs, I think it'll keep the defenses off balance. Then just trying to pass so heavy with Justice Hill and run most downs with Derrick Henry. It's just a little more predictable, just my opinion. Again, that's not an opinion, that's fact. He said, but overall, we on offense always do great things whenever we feed the king. That's true. But that defense, that is a major 360. Actually, it's a 180. Because if it was a 360, they would be in the same point that they started at. But that's a 180. But anyway, he said the defense is starting to be more complete as a whole with that back end. And the DBs playing solid in the last two games with the switch up at safeties. And White on the outside playing more snaps, replacing P.I. Stevens. I meant Brandon. Oh, don't do our guy like that. Don't do Brandon Stevens like that. He said, we're looking great. We definitely needed some changes. Roquan Smith coming back soon. Hopefully soon. I think we'll be okay. Yeah. And that'll be nice. And with Malik Harrison, he got that boost of confidence now. So moving forward, I think he should be a lot better. He said, I was hurt, sick about that Steelers loss in my pockets, too. See, why y'all betting anyway? Don't be betting on nothing. But anyway, he said, with that one, he said, I hate those Steelers, but great win this week. All in all, glad to see Ravens looking better as a team, and we can beat anyone anytime when we feed the beast King Henry. It opens up a lot for the passing game. Just wanted to come on and drop some Ravens chat. Appreciate all you're doing. Stay blessed, bro. Keep grinding and enjoy the content. Appreciate that, O'Shea. Thank you, man.